Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of the Mountain Bikes Apart podcast. This is a show about everything mountain biking, from equipment to trail guides and everything in between. I'm Colin Gray, your usual host, joined by Tom Bell. As always, how are you doing, Tom?
Hi, Colin. Yeah, good, thank you. How's things with you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, not too bad at all. I feel like we were just saying, it feels like a while since we've spoken, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's time flies, and when we looked when the last episode was recorded, it was a bit of a surprise that long ago. So it was good to be back.
So yeah, apologies to everyone that we've been away for a little while, but we're hoping to record a few today, and then try and get back into regular routine. So hopefully you'll see us out at least every couple of weeks for the next few months. But well, we've promised that before. We'll see what happens. But good to talk about a few questions today. Thought we'd kick off. It'd be good to hear what you've been up to in the last month. What are we at? So right now, as we're recording this, we're coming towards the end of June. Is this like the height of racing season for you just now?
It is, yeah. It's sort of June, July tend to be the most, the busiest months, and the ones that have those kind of the most sort of high priority races in there. Yeah. So it is certainly the heart of the season, you might say.
Aye, yeah. So what's been going on since we spoke start of May, basically? So that's nearly a month and a half, actually. What's been going on since then?
Yeah, so I've been out to Romania. I think I mentioned it on the last one that I was going there. Never been there before, and so it was quite an interesting experience. It's not somewhere that I think I would have gone sort of on holiday for any other reason. So I've been there twice now, actually, in the last period since we talked, and just got back actually on Monday this week. So been doing some racing out there.
So what's the biking like in Romania? Is there a lot of Waymart trails and stuff? What were you riding on?
Yeah, so the two cross-country races that I did out there were obviously kind of just in a small forested area. They're typically 5 to 6 kilometer loops, so you don't need endless amounts of trails to sort of host a cross-country race. But from what I understand, the trails there, you can just ride whatever's there. So there's not really any access rights other than a few bits of private land and stuff. So. And the cities are pretty hectic. I went to a city called Cluj for the first trip, and then a city called Icy for the second one. And the cities are pretty bustling, bit dangerous. The driving out there is a bit hairy. But once you get out of the cities, it's really just countryside, and there's loads of trails to explore, loads of different sort of trails over the hills. The cross-country racing had a good variety of steep climbs and some sort of technical features that have been purpose-built and all that kind of stuff.
Did you get an idea whether it's the kind of place that's worthwhile, like going for a biking holiday? I mean, are they catering for that now?
They seem to be. I mean, they want to, definitely from the organisers that I spoke to and the bike shop owners and some of the local riders, it's definitely a sport that's taken off there.
Really?
I'm not sure how much kind of infrastructure there is there for guided rides, and I guess it might be a bit difficult to navigate there at the moment, but I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of years if there was some, there was more of a reason to go there and more sort of... like I say, kind of more infrastructure in terms of helping mountain bikers get on the trails, and it being a sort of destination for mountain bikers to go to.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
There's a few places in sort of Eastern Europe area that I've heard have been coming up. Slovenia or Slovakia. Slovenia, I think it is, isn't it? That's now really well known for biking. They've apparently got some great networks of trails over there, and I've always meant to get across there because I've never been to the capital of there too, which I hear is really good, which I now can't even remember the name of. But yeah,
Ljubljana.
Ljubljana, that's exactly it. And I've heard it's really great, like really good infrastructure and guiding and all that kind of stuff over there. Plus a lot of Waymart trails too. So
yeah, it's a fantastic country. I went over there a couple of years ago, and then we hopped over to Croatia as well, so that you can quite easily get to and Austria. You know, you can quite easily get to a few different countries from Slovenia. Really nice, just really nice country. Cool. So that's definitely a good one.
Great. So how'd you do in the races anyway?
Yeah, so I actually got second in the in the cross country. So the first time I went to Romania, it was like a double header kind of weekend. So there was a cross country race on the Saturday, and then a marathon sort of longer distance race on the Sunday. And unfortunately, on the Sunday there was marshalling issues, and they had to cancel all the results.
All right.
Which I went with our current national marathon champion, who was there to kind of get points for the world championship. Yeah, so yeah, it was almost a wasted trip for him. So and a lot of other people were a bit angry about that. But the cross country event on the Saturday, which is what I kind of primarily went for, went really well.
I
got second there. So great. That was my first sort of international podium, which was nice.
Excellent.
It was just suited to me basically with the course. It was a huge climb right off the start, and then sort of a traverse your way back down the hill. So it was good.
Yeah.
And then
how far were you off first there? Were you competing for it? Or was
I was 20 seconds off first actually. So
who was that?
It was close. It was one of the Slovakian national team riders. He's ridden in he rides cyclocross as well as mountain bike, and I think he does road as well. So he's been to the world championships in each of those disciplines. So he's he was a good standard rider for sure.
Great stuff. Just out of interest, what you say marshalling issues, what was it, something ridiculous, or was it, what, do you know what it was that actually caused that cancellation?
It was the marshals sent a group behind us, so there was sort of a lead group off the front. The weather was really bad that day, and the mud over there is just like clay. It just sticks to your wheels, sticks to the bike, and basically stops the wheels turning around unless you sort of grab all the mud from the wheels and unpack it all. So about 10 minutes into the race, everyone just jumped off the bike, and we just all stood there trying to get them working again. But at that point, a kind of lead group went off the front, and then there was kind of us in a sort of chasing group, and then the group behind us got the marshal sent them the wrong way on the course. So they actually missed 3 or 4 miles, and when we got to the end, the group behind us had already arrived. So they then, because it was so muddy, all the numbers were kind of covered, so they couldn't unpick, couldn't sort of untangle the mess. So they eventually just had to cancel all the results, which was frustrating, as you can imagine.
So a good group of the riders actually just did a shorter course, basically.
Yeah, exactly. We looked at it on suite. We kind of tried to untangle it all on Strava and look at where, and we found where they went wrong, and we essentially did a big climb and a big descent kind of loop, whereas they just sort of cut the course. So that was that.
Good. All right. Well, what about since then?
Yeah. So I went to Norway after that for a sort of 3-day stage race, which didn't go completely to plan. I had a few crashes and a few issues that just meant that I finished about midfield in that race. So there's about 50 or 60 riders, and I think I finished 24th. So with it being it was a very highly ranked race. There was a lot of World Cup and national champions there and stuff. So I still managed to get some UCI points and all that kind of thing that I went for, just not as many as I wanted to do. But again, Norway's a really nice country, and it was nice to kind of go back there.
It was just a few mistakes and crashes and stuff. Was that the main thing there? Do you learn anything else from that race, or do you think?
I think it was bad. Yeah, it was bad luck, and obviously like some handling issues on my behalf. I went to the same race last year, and I thought I'll go away and try, and because it's not the most hilly course, and that's the kind of track that suits me with sort of hills and stuff. And it starts off with a very short sort of 5-minute time trial, which just suits very big guys that can put out a lot of power.
Right.
So yeah, I think it just confirmed that it didn't really suit my strengths. But like I say, I kind of got what I went for, just not quite as many points and not quite the result I wanted. But that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just wondering if there was any kind of big learnings around that. But bad luck.
Yeah, exactly. And just work on the technical skills is always the thing that I come away from a race thinking, yeah, I need to do more of that. And so I'll get my acting gear on at some stage.
Yeah, it must be quite easy just to think you're almost wasting your time with, yeah, just practicing those technical skills, because I'd imagine, and well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd imagine the endurance is more, it's more easy and obvious to work on and to improve, I guess. Whereas, you know, you're improving your technical skills, it's harder to measure. So is it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Really? I'm sort of a numbers guy, and I quite like to come back from a road ride or a mountain bike ride and look at all the numbers and know that I've done this block at this interval and this block. Yeah. And it's hard to quantify your improvement with technical skills, and you don't quite know if you're doing it right or so yeah, that's exactly why I struggle with it.
Okay, anything else?
Just the other Romania race basically that I came back from on Monday, and that was another sort of bad weather race, as it turned out. The week before it was glorious weather, and the week after, and you know, even the day after the race was glorious weather. It just happened to pee it down on that day. And again, the mud is just like clay. It's like riding on ice. So it was a bit of a comedy kind of race where we ran sort of 75% of the lap, and we're just slipping and sliding all over the place. I got seventh there with a fairly big crash, which took me a while to recover from. But again, it was not exactly the result I wanted, but still some points, and still good to see another part of the country, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's great. Cool. No, that's good to hear. It's interesting to hear the progress.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Just out of interest then, what you're talking about your UCI points and stuff. How are you doing this season then compared to what you want to be, where you want to be right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably where I want to be. I think I've got 95-ish UCI points, which puts me in about, I think, world rank 300 or something like that. So with a few, if I have a decent national championships, which is the main kind of the next main race for me, and a few other good races, then hopefully that might go into sort of 200s. And then they're on a rolling system. So they're on a 1 year sort of cycle. So the results that I kind of got last week, this time next year will be kind of removed and that kind of thing. So it's good to try and get UCI points all throughout the season, so you've got some sort of to rely on next year, because it affects where you start on the grid and some of the races you can enter and stuff like that.
So. So you could do amazingly well in the first half of the year and not do anything the second half, and then actually next year, that means later in the year, you've got nothing.
Exactly. You see some, even some of the big top guys that get a big injury and, you know, they're out for 6 months, and then next season, they're kind of starting at the back of the grid when really they should be sort of front row at say a World Cup or something like that. So it's definitely trying to just get those throughout the year is important.
Great. Okay, so let's go on to our listener question then. So we talked before, we're going to try and do more listener questions over the next few episodes, just try and answer some of the stuff that's coming in, because we're getting loads of really interesting ones in from you guys out there. So well, first of all, give us more, send us more questions. I always like to see more coming in. So if you send them in, you can send them to colin@mountainbikesapart.com. Just fire in your question that way. If you know how, it'd be great to get some audio questions. So if you can record an audio question, that'd be great. All you need to do is pull out your mobile phone, really. Any smartphone's got a voice recording app. Pull it out, press the record button, and then you've generally got a wee share icon in there as well. So you can share it to your email, and you can email it to the colin@mountainbikespart.com email address. Otherwise, you can do quick ones on Twitter. So that's probably the easiest way to get us on social. I am the podcast host on Twitter, and Tom is?
By Tom Bell, BYTOMBELL.
Excellent. So you can get us that way for the quick questions, email in for the longer questions, and we'll answer them over the next few shows. This time around, we've got one in from John Stagg. So this is what John says. I live in Hobart, Tasmania, opposite end of the earth to you guys. I love listening to your podcast, especially listen to trends in other parts of the mountain biking world. It's easy for me to think what happens here is how it happens everywhere, but I'm sure it's not. One trend I'm seeing here is that fewer and fewer people are riding cross country and races are getting fewer entrants. Our biggest race, Wildside, was almost impossible to get an entry in 10 years ago, but the last two races didn't fill up and now it's stopped altogether. But there are more and more mountain bike riders out on the trails. So my question is, why aren't they racing cross country anymore? And what sort of riding are they doing? Is this trend similar in your region? So this leads on, Tom, from our... that was a question from John, first of all. Thanks very much for that, John. Really good to get that question and an interesting topic too. Tom, this leads on from what we're talking about, basically. You're talking about racing. I've not done a whole lot of races this year so far. Certainly last year, the races here were pretty full. What are you seeing? Are the cross-country races getting as much attention in Scotland and England as they used to?
Yeah, I think it depends sort of where you are. I think in Europe, you know, in the countries like France and Germany and Switzerland especially, that it's a big sport. And I think in certain areas it's growing, and in other areas it's in a bit of decline, as John mentioned there. And I think there's different formats now. You know, there's different disciplines that are coming into fruition that weren't around sort of 10 years ago. So enduro is probably the one that I can think of straight off the top of my head, which kind of obviously combines a bit of the downhill element with a more endurance cross country element. I think a lot of cross country races that maybe are more gravity orientated or more looking at the fun side of things rather than pure performance, have moved to kind of enduro or doing some more long distance mountain bike racing rather than pure cross country. I think in some ways it's slightly in decline, but in others, you know, when you look at the World Cup and you look at how many people go to watch some of the World Cup events and that kind of thing, then it looks fairly healthy from that standpoint.
Enduro is the one that popped into my head as well. The fact that that was the main races I did last year were enduro races. There's one in Perth, for example, which is a really good one. It's the Fair City Enduro. And there was hundreds of people at that. It was absolutely mobbed. And the other one, there was even one up in Forfar as well, the Funduro they run up in Forfar, which is a tiny wee town, a bit north of Dundee. The trails there are good, but they're not great. They're not waymarked or anything like that. It's all just kind of a network of trails that people have built out on this hill. Pretty homemade, but actually the race was great. It turned out when you linked them all together, it was a great environment for an enduro. And there was hundreds of people at that as well. I wonder if people are just in the old, like maybe 10 years ago, like John's saying, 10 years ago, the cross country race Wildside took off, or it was doing really well because, like you say, there's not much competition. Cross country racing was kind of the only racing, downhill was already big by that point, wasn't it? But maybe not as high profile as it is now. And certainly enduros, I don't think were they? Mm. So maybe it's just they've got more competition, it's spread out.
I would think so.
Do you think it's easier these days to get into the gravity based ones? So like, is it easier now to get into downhill, whereas 10 years ago it was seen as a bit of a crazy mentalist sport as opposed to something that just about anybody can do?
Yeah, I mean, I think enduro probably offers that sort of bridge into pure downhill if people want to go for that, because you've got slightly tamer courses and. You've got a more sort of all-purpose bike that can deal with that kind of racing. I mean, when you stand trackside at a World Cup downhill, I think you still sort of think people are a bit nuts it's pretty crazy. I would imagine. I think there's downhill probably in terms of. I mean. Yeah, I think downhill is quite popular in the racing side of things, as well as just going to trail centres and sort of sessioning a hill and that kind of thing. Whereas cross country racing, if you do, you know, you do a cross country ride, that's kind of just a trail ride, whether you do that on a 100mm cross country bike or a 150mm more sort of trail enduro bike, it's almost one in the same. I'm not really sure, to be honest, but
I wonder if there's partly a move because trail centers are becoming much more prevalent. So there's more and more trail centers popping up. There's more and more really well-served trails that people get into and really enjoy the downhill part of it. Not like full-on downhill as in downhill racing, but just kind of the enjoyable single track descents, like with a bit of jumps and drops and berms and stuff like that. And maybe they just don't get quite so much into the this is maybe not true at all, but the health and fit, you know, the exercise or the endurance side of things. Like maybe when people were having to do more cross country on just walking trails and stuff like that, it was more about the fitness side of things, like getting fast all the time, and that's what leads them into cross country racing. Whereas people are going to trail centers and just enjoying the kind of fun day out, the session and sections and stuff like that, and therefore they're not really getting into going fast and getting fit, and therefore don't enter races. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that would kind of go along with the growth in e-bikes as well. That you know, people like to go out, and hills are a sort of necessary part of a ride like that.
Yeah.
But you know, cross country racing, you know, if you want to go there and kind of do okay, you've got to put in some kind of training and actually have to kind of hurt yourself a little bit, you know, on the climbs and stuff. And I think a lot of people, like you say, just enjoy the sort of day out at a trail center, the ride itself, but don't particularly want to aren't particularly that interested in increasing their fitness in a structured way. With the uphills, they just, you know, like the downhills and like the trail as a whole, and probably either take it easy on the climbs and or don't sort of think about those too much, and you know, and e-bikes help them, you know, ride for longer and that kind of thing. So I think you've got a particular breed of people that do cross country racing on a regular basis, and then you've got all those other people that ride mountain bikes but aren't necessarily interested in racing.
I wonder if we're losing people to any other sports. Like, is there anything else that's taken off that might steal people from mountain biking just now?
It's a good question.
Because I can't imagine that. I mean, road biking is a sort of obvious close alternative, but I think road biking's always been one of the biggest sports in the world, isn't it? It's not like it's kind of become, or has it become more popular? There has, you know, the whole mammal thing, middle-aged men in Lycra. I wonder, I'm not sure whether that has got more prevalent over the last 10 years or whether it's just that I've got closer and closer to middle age, so I notice it more.
I think it might have done, actually. I think it might have got more popular just because we've had things like the Grand Depart of the Tour de France and all the sort of success in the last 5 or 6 years of Team Sky and Bradley Wiggins and that kind of thing. I think that's brought a lot of people that weren't interested in cycling kind of at all into cycling. But I would think that mountain bikers, I think that sport, that the sport in general, as in just people going to trail centers and riding around, I think is growing a lot.
John said that too, didn't he? He says there's more people out in the trails.
Exactly. So I can't think of another sport other than, like you say, maybe some other form of cycling that would be stealing those people away, really. Yeah. So
it's just about making them more competitive, get them to enter the events.
And... yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, no, it's a good question, John. I hope that we didn't exactly answer it closely, but certainly got an idea of whether the trends are similar here. So I hope that answered the question. Feel free to send in a follow-up if you want to. Love to hear your any further opinions on that. So send that in. Anyone else as well, if you're out there listening, you want to have a question of your own, you want us to answer or talk through, just a topic even we can have a discussion about, send it in to colin@mountainbikesapart.com or tweet me at the podcast host or tweet Tom at by Tom Bell. Otherwise, you can find the show notes and everything at mountainbikesapart.com/308, because this is episode 8 in season 3. And I think that'll tie us up for the week then. Thanks again for popping on again, Tom.
Ah, no problem, Colin. It's always good to chat through mountain bikey things.
Indeed. And we'll talk to you next time.